condensed history of the New Testament church. Woo! The first century. You know, I wouldn't be able to cover all of that. But turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, if you would please. Acts chapter 1. Simple outline. Some of you young fellas that are preaching, you need to write this outline down. I'll try and go slow and give it to you. Seeing Cam was so sweet to give me all this time. So Acts chapter 1, let's look at the first point. Number 1, the Lord Jesus went up. Christ had died. He's risen again. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs for 40 days. Then, of course, he goes up onto the Mount of Olives and he departs from this earth and goes back to heaven. But as he prepares to leave, he tells his disciples some things. So the Lord Jesus went up, Acts 1 verse 2, until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now look at verse 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And whilst they looked up, looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So the Lord Jesus went up. Visible fellowship is now broken. He is no longer walking with them physically. But he says, I'm leaving you a job to do. And I want you to get cracking, and this is, I'm going to spell it out for you, and this is how it's going to be done. He told them before resurrection that he would die on the cross, he would rise from the grave 3 days later, and then, of course, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. So right here we see the fact that Jesus went up. The Bible says he went up visibly, physically, in a cloud, and they saw him. The Bible says he will come in so like manner. He left the Mount of Olives. He will come back to the Mount of Olives in that day. His feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, and it will split in two. He will come back visibly, physically, and the world will know that he is coming back with his saints there in the book of Revelation. But the Lord Jesus went up, and he committed the work of himself to the local New Testament church, to his disciples, and he instructed, this is how it is to be done. So the Lord Jesus went up, and then number 2, the Holy Spirit came down. And of course, if you look over in Acts chapter 1, the Lord Jesus said unto them, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So he tells them the Holy Spirit's going to come down. He's going to empower you for the work that you are to carry on. My work, I'm committing it to you. And so the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, and the Bible says they would be empowered. The word there, power, is dunamis, dynamic, just like dynamo that generates electricity. It's real power, real energy, and God says, I'm going to give you the strength, the power, the might to accomplish the work that I'm giving you to do. Acts chapter 2. So the Holy Spirit came down just like Jesus said he would. And then chapter 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were empowered to go and take the gospel. And so the Holy Spirit came upon them, and a lot of people got a lot of confusion about this area of tongues. I'm not going to get on that tonight, but the simple matter is, every man heard them speak in his own language, which tells you it was natural language. It tells you who those people were. Parthian, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, and Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak. They heard the apostles preach in their own language, and that was just another miracle of Pentecost. Every man heard them speak, so they were empowered to take the gospel to all those people there on the day of Pentecost. That was a starting point, and that's where they were to start. Jesus said, beginning at Jerusalem. So they were doing what God said. They started off in Jerusalem. The day of Pentecost came. They were empowered. So the Lord Jesus Christ went back to heaven. The Lord Jesus went up. The Holy Spirit came down. And every man got to hear the gospel in his own language. And I love that where it says, in their own language. And it spells out who they were, where they were from. But look at verse point three here. The Lord Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down, and the gospel went out, just like Jesus said for them to take the gospel. And so where did they start? In Jerusalem. Where were they to go from there? Where did he say? Into Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world, or the earth. So here they are in Jerusalem, preaching the gospel. Every man got to hear in his own language wherein he was born, and so they got to hear the gospel. Do you realize it? I don't know how many people were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. They were from all over the world. And I'm not going to exaggerate saying there were 500,000 people there. I don't know it was 500,000. It might have been 20,000. It may have been 100,000. I don't know. But I know one thing. 3,000 people got saved on that day. The rest walked away in unbelief. But they all got to hear. And the majority of them went away in unbelief. But thank God for the 3,000 that got saved. And so the gospel went out, Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. Acts 5, verse 42. And it says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Mate, the gospel was going out on a daily basis in every house and in the temple. And so the gospel was going out. God was blessing. People were getting saved left, right, and center. Acts 2:36. Acts 2:36. I think I already quoted it for you, but anyway. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. It says, now therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And then it says, and now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 3,000 people got saved on the day of Pentecost. The rest walked away in unbelief. So God was blessing. After all the gospel's being preached, people are getting saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. It says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them was about 5,000. That's another 5,000. 3,000 plus 5, I think, is 8, isn't it? When I went to school, it was anyway. So that makes about 8,000 people now gotten saved. Praise the Lord for that. So the gospel went out, and God was blessing. People were getting saved. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Mate, they were empowered to speak the word of God with boldness. They went out into the streets and into the marketplace and into the temple, and they preached about the Lord Jesus Christ. And did they get into trouble? Mate, listen, in this modern day and age, Peter wouldn't get a job because he's a jailbird. Paul wouldn't get a job because he had a criminal record. He was always in trouble. There was always a riot when he came to town. He got thrown into jail. He was always in trouble. And he, you know, when they wanted to take his life and turn him over to the Pharisees, he says, I appeal to Caesar. And they said, all right, unto Caesar thou shalt go. So the Apostle Paul, great men of God, Acts chapter 8. Look at that, please. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. So, yeah, God was blessing. People were getting saved. Don't go to Acts 8 4 yet. Go to Acts 8:40. But you know something, there's a problem here. The Lord Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down, the gospel went out, but you know something, people were getting saved, multitudes were coming into the church, 3,000, 5,000, and multitudes more, but we'll come to a problem here in a minute. Have a look here in Acts chapter 4. Did we read verse 31? I think we did. All right. No, we didn't. Yes, we did. No, we didn't. All right. Yeah, we read that one. Go to Acts chapter 8, verse 4. All right. Acts 8, 4 and 5. We'll get ourselves sorted out here in a minute. Okay, verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So they're still preaching the word with the crew that's been scattered abroad. And how did that all happen? Look, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Well, you know, what was happening here? The gospel went out. It started in Jerusalem, but it didn't go into Judea or Samaria or unto the uttermost parts of the earth till God intervened and destroyed the church. He allowed Saul of Tarsus to come along to persecute the church. And listen, people were driven off every direction. And what did they do? They went everywhere preaching the word. And you know where they went? Into Judea and then into Samaria and into the uttermost parts of Asia Minor and Southern Europe. Churches began to pop up left, right and centre. What was happening here? See, they stayed comfortable in Jerusalem. Yeah, man, God was blessing, so we're going to stay where God's blessing. Isn't that right? Yeah, but what about the other part of it? See, start in Jerusalem, then go into Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the world. So they didn't do that. They disobeyed the Lord Jesus Christ on that particular point. And so as you read through here, the gospel went out into Jerusalem, but it didn't go any further. It didn't go any further until we come to Acts chapter 8. Look at that. Verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Whose death? Stephen's death. Okay, Stephen is standing up. He's telling the truth, preaching the word, and they didn't like what he had to say. Nothing's changed in 2,000 years, you know. You get up and preach the word of God out in the public arena or even to religious people, and sometimes they don't like it. And they like to have you, what I told Arthur one time, D-E-D. He said, you spelled that wrong. I said, yeah, I know. But, you know, they want people dead when they hate the gospel. That's why they still imprison people in China and in North Korea and various other countries of the world, because they don't want to know the gospel. They don't want to hear the gospel. Why? Because it's a threat to their ideology. It's a threat to their belief system. I mean, back in the days when the Chinese communists took over, if you were a Christian, mate, you got the chop or you got crucified on the hillside. Atheists are people who don't believe in God. They have a godless religion. And so the gospel went out. People were getting saved left, right, and center. God was blessing. Then all of a sudden this happened in Acts chapter 7. Stephen gets stoned to death. Trouble comes along. Persecution comes to Jerusalem. Saul was consenting unto his death, Acts 8:1. That time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Watch this, except the apostles. Well, hang on a minute. Let's back up here. Didn't Jesus say to the apostles, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, and then take the gospel where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, hang on a minute. The destruction of the church here is brought about through the persecution that came on, and we see here that they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. What were they doing? They went everywhere preaching the word. They were doing the job that the apostles were supposed to have been doing. Remember, there was 3,000 and there was 5,000, there was multitudes more. We don't know, embellish this, but I know there was at least 8,000 people that knew Christ in that town, and probably maybe 12,000, 10,000. We don't overestimate, but I tell you what, the church was split. Persecution came on, and away they went. They were scattered everywhere, doing what they were supposed to do in the first place. And so God was blessing them also. They went out, and multitudes came into the kingdom because of their preaching. And so Acts chapter 5 and verse 14. Acts 5 and verse 14. It says, and believers were more added to the Lord, and multitudes both of men and women. I tell you what, there was a great movement in Jerusalem, but there came a time when God said, well, hang on a minute, this is great. I will continue to bless the obedience of these people. But he said, you know, there's something wrong here. They're not doing what they were told to do. Maybe we need to move them out and get them going. And so Saul of Tarsus, a man who hated Christ, hated the gospel, hated the church, like so many people today, he was out there to put an end to this. And so we see persecution came on, the church was split, and so those multitudes were driven out, and they went every direction. What were they doing? preaching the word of God. They went into the various parts of Asia Minor, Southern Europe, the Roman Empire, and they started preaching. Fellas like Philip, he's up and down the coast preaching in Palestine, and he's down in that place where Jesus was witnessing to the woman at the well. What was the name of that place? Sychar. He was down in Samaria, mate, and I tell you what, great things were happening there. Revival was happening, Acts chapter 8. God was using Philip. Now he's the evangelist, and he was one of the men that were chosen to be the deacons there in Jerusalem. But now all of a sudden, now they're out of the church. They're preaching the word everywhere. Philip's an evangelist. He's being used of the Lord there in Samaria. And all of a sudden, these great things are happening. And the Holy Spirit said, you know, you got to leave this. You know, there's one fella down there in the desert riding in his chariot, and he doesn't know my son. You need to go down there and tell him about my son. So the Spirit of the Lord said to Philip, get on your way. And so as you read through Acts chapter 8, here's this this treasurer from Ethiopia. He's riding along in his chariot. He's reading Isaiah 53. How do you know that? Read the book. Remember I said this morning in Sunday school, read the book and you find out some things. He was reading from Isaiah 53 and reading aloud. And Philip heard him. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? See, the Spirit of God brought him down to where this guy was. He said, how can I except some man should show me? So he came up into the chariot and he preached unto him Jesus. You know, this modern day and age, we would never leave a multitude to go and reach one man way down there in the desert. And then, of course, you know the story. The Ethiopian eunuch, mate, the treasurer of Ethiopia, he got saved. And as they were traveling along, he says, look, here's water. Why don't you baptize me? What doth hinder me to be baptized? So they stopped the chariot. Philip didn't go down and get a cup of water and come up and go. No. They got out of the chariot. They both went down into the water. He baptized him in the name of Jesus, and he went on his way rejoicing. You know, I don't ever see anywhere in the New Testament where we hear of the Ethiopian eunuch ever again. But I'll tell you what, God was using those who were spread abroad out of the split or the division in the church there in Jerusalem because they had not carried out the Great Commission. So God said, I'll make you carry out the Great Commission. And so the Lord Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down, the gospel went out, multitudes were getting saved, and then persecution came on, and then, of course, the church. Boy, I tell you what, it was not driven underground, brother. It went out everywhere, and they were preaching the word, and I tell you what, God was blessing. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. So the persecution came on. You know, the Bible says, and all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not maybe or might, but will. That doesn't mean they're going to take something to you and give you a hiding or give you a beating. But you know, that word persecution covers abuse, swearing at you, cursing you, physically beating you. It's an interesting word. And so if you're going to live for Christ, you can guarantee that you're going to cop something. Because the Lord Jesus said, don't be surprised if the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you. They hated him without a cause. I mean, he came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Look here in Acts chapter. Have a look at Acts chapter 8 while we're there. We'll have a quick look at that. Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. That tells you we didn't see him anymore. And he went on his way rejoicing, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Samaria. Have a look at the map in the back of your book here. Back of your Bible, you'll find there's a map. He's way down here at the bottom of Palestine, and he starts preaching all the way up till he comes up to Caesarea. And that's another story in itself, Caesarea. So, you know, people were getting saved. Churches were being planted, and that's what God wants. He wants people to get saved, churches to be planted, and people to be ongoing serving the Lord and passing it on to other believers so that they also can go out into all the world. Thank God for David Onus. God called him to preach and we stole him from you. No, God called him for us to go down to us. But you got, you know, Brother Johnston's down there preaching at Mackay today and I'm up here. Thank God for young fellows like that that hear the call and they say, I will go, Lord. So James Johnson. And so if the Lord's been speaking to you and talking to you, pay attention. I got saved when I was 23. I was working for International Harvest of trucks and tractors and farm equipment and all that stuff. I was out on the road, and the Lord was working on me, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to become a preacher. I want you to go be a missionary. I want you to plant churches. You know, a career on the up and up, you know, getting promoted, throw that away and be a preacher. Yeah, there's not much success and money and all that in being a preacher, but the Lord says, you know, that's what I want you to do. When I was 24 years of age, I said, okay, Lord, I will go. I've seen other young fellas also surrender in the same church, Calvary Baptist Church in Ipswich. Today, it's gone. Sold. Sold to a gymnasium. That was 46 years ago, 45 years ago. There was a young fellow that surrendered to preach. He came to me, he said, oh, he said, I don't know. He says, I just feel like the Lord's calling me to preach. And I mean, he had hair down to here. He's a motor mechanic. He worked for the council. I said, well, mate, if the Lord's calling you, get up the front there. He went up the front there and surrendered. And I'll tell you who that fella is. His name is Wayne Zimmerman. Anybody ever heard of Wayne Zimmerman? He's the pastor at Lifegate. We used to go to Bible college together in the one car one week, and then we'd swap cars and go in another car the next week. We went in his car, he came in our car. So Wayne Zimmerman is a great fellow. I love him, I know him, and he takes a good stand for the Lord. But you know something? God was working in the hearts of young men. Thank God for God working in the hearts of young men today. I travelled down into Victoria and New South Wales and down around Sydney. And there are young people there. God's working in their lives. They're surrendering to God. I've had young fellas come to me and say, oh, Brother Bernie, when are you going to start Brother Mike's ministry? I said, what? That's Brother Mike Coughlin. He said, man, I'm not Mike Coughlin. I'll never be a Mike Coughlin. How many of you know Mike Coughlin? A few of you, mate. When God made him, he definitely threw the mold away. There's only one Mike Coughlin. But I love Brother Mike. We were like this for 32 years, and then the Lord took him home. But you know something? I said, well, you know, if the Lord called me to take Mike's ministry, I'd do that. But I've been down there. I've been on missions trips with these guys doing what they and Mike used to do. And I said to my wife, you know, it was wonderful to go out there to Victoria and New South Wales and go to some of these churches. You know these blokes that were here last year? Dave Talbot, Lee Davison, and Gavin Jekyll. Those three men were here. And they said, oh, brother, up here, October 2018. Well, brother, you've got to come down and preach for us. I said, well, maybe. Oh, no, you got to come down. Brother Mike told us all about you. I said, doesn't matter. I said, I'll come down. I said, but it'll have to be next year. I went down to those three men this year. What a blessing it was. You know what? I got to go into those churches, and guess what I saw? Boys and girls that I met on missions trips that had gotten hitched to other young people on that same mission trip. Somewhere along the line, you know, I fell in love with this lady. I fell in love with this boy. We tied the knot, and the preacher tied it very tight. And today they got kids and serving the Lord. That was an encouragement. To see young people who were 15, 16, 17, and now they're 10 years older, married and got kids, and they're in the church playing instruments, serving the Lord, teaching Sunday school. And those boys will say, oh, Brother Bernie, you got to come back again. Let's go out. You know, thank God I went down to Taree. I went down to Goulburn. And we were going to go to another place, but it got cancelled. So, you know, we've got a burden to reach our country. There are places where they don't get to hear the gospel. So, young fellas, if the Lord speaks to you, get out there. I mean, if he calls you to go to Timbuktu. Now, that's not in Australia, is it? No, hang on. He calls you to go to Bourke or Birdsville. That's the place to go. So the children of Israel, they were being reached with the gospel. And then the Lord said, well, what about the Gentiles? What about the Gentiles? And poor old Peter's down there having a holiday after all this persecution. He's down there at the household of Simon the Tanner. And the Lord says, I got a job for you. But that's another story. I'll get onto that probably next Sunday. And so here we go. The persecution came on. The dispersion started. They went everywhere preaching the word. And, you know, out of that division came multiplication. Multitudes came to know Christ. People were getting saved left, right, and center. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Look at that. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So now we're reaching Judea and Samaria and throughout the empire. Acts chapter 9, we didn't get to that. Verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters like warrants. Letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, that's the Christian way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Brother, have a look where Jerusalem is. Have a look where Damascus is. Damascus is a long way up there from Jerusalem. And so it says down here, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. You know, the Bible says down here, he went into every home, every place, looking for these Christians. He hated Christ. He hated Christians. He hated the church. He wanted to see it obliterated. Guess what? When the persecution came on, the horse bolted, the gate was open and they were gone. Now he's got to try and round them up. Where are you, brother? It was muster time. He was out there trying to muster them. Too late. They're gone, mate. And so he's looking everywhere. But on his journey on the Damascus Road, guess what? This bright, shining light comes down and he is struck down. And he hears the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? This persecution was something that Jesus took personally. He said, you might be persecuting them, but actually you're persecuting me. You know, when someone persecutes a believer, they're actually persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ from what I see here in chapter 9. So the persecution came on. And I tell you what a terrible time it was for the believers. Man, time's getting away. So the churches, plural here in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Have a look at that. Acts 9, 31. And it came to pass, oh no, that's 32. It says down here, Saul had gotten saved. He's now been commissioned to take the gospel into all the world. And he surrenders and says, okay, Lord, I'm willing to go. Jesus said, go into Damascus and it will be told you there what you're supposed to do. And so he surrenders, and of course, God uses Saul of Tarsus, who becomes the Apostle Paul, in such a mighty way. Then look at verse 30, Acts 9:30, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Hey, Saul's out of the way. He's gone away for the time being. And the Lord has just given them refreshment and rest and recreation. And they're just relieved. See, when Saul gets saved and he shows up at the synagogues and he's going to preach the gospel, he's saying, yeah, I don't know about you, mate. We heard about you. We know what you're up here for. Maybe you're a double agent. Maybe just looking for us to get their names and addresses so you can take us back. But you know, another brother said, it's okay. He's come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a changed man. And Saul was able to stand up and preach the gospel. Why could he preach the gospel? Because he'd heard it so many times. And he hated it. Now he's preaching it. And I thought, what's happened to this man? I'll tell you what happened to him. He met Christ on the Damascus Road. Okay. The Lord Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down, the gospel went out, the multitudes came into the church, the persecution came on, and there was dispersion through the persecution, and there was a great addition and multiplication through the great destruction of the church there in Jerusalem. The church was now resting, and so Paul's out of the way for the time being, but he'll be back. He'll be come back with greater power and strength, and God will use him in such a mighty way. And so that's just a brief history of the New Testament church. You know, when I was teaching RE in the school, I said to the kids, you know, I can write everything I know on the back of a postage stamp. Ah, they said, no, you can't. I said, yes, I can. Ah, they said, show us. So I took a piece of paper over that big, and I said, everything I know. Ah, they said, that was a trick. I said, that's why you got to watch out what people tell you, because people will trick you. So that's it for tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your son. Thank you that the Lord Jesus went up and he left the great commission to the church to get the gospel out into all the world. And we're thankful for those who have surrendered to take the gospel into all the world, for those who have become evangelists and pastors and missionaries. And we ask, Lord, you continue to work in young people throughout our country, Lord. Burden them with the gospel and need to reach people before it is too late for them. And thankful for those young people who went out yesterday morning and were willing to tell people this may be your last day alive. This may be your last chance. Please take this track. Continue to use people here in Melanda as they try to reach people with the gospel. Speak to hearts now in the closing moments of our invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.